You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. This episode is sponsored by Jane, a clinic management software designed to help you run your private practice smoothly. Choosing an EHR is a big decision, and one of the most important questions I asked myself was, is this software right for me and my practice needs? Jane understands the importance of this question and wants to help you feel confident in your decision to switch. They've put together a whole range of resources to help guide you, including weekly everything you need to know about switching to Jane webinars, step-by-step online guides, and both live and recorded demos. It's all there to help you figure out if Jane is the right match before you make the move. To learn more about Jane, click the link in the show notes to book a free demo. And when you're ready to sign up, be sure to use code ASHLEY1MO to get a 1 month grace period with your new account. Welcome to this week's episode of the Therapist Mom Podcast. We're going to be exploring a question today that I think a lot of people who are in the place of like just starting out or considering private practice have been asking. And that is, now a good time to even start a private practice, kind of given where the world currently is? And I have to acknowledge that like there is a lot of kind of collective anxiety in our society right now. There's a lot of political instability, a lot of uncertainty and changes that are happening in our own nation, globally. There's a lot of economic uncertainty that kind of comes with that too. There's changes happening with accessibility to insurance due to premiums going up, those kinds of things. And there's a lot of burnout in our field too, right? Like a lot of mental health providers are just finding themselves burning out. And then we also have the rise of like what I call like kind of big box therapy or big tech or like venture capital backed therapy platforms, like, you know, BetterHealth, Talkspace, those kinds of things. So if you're feeling like, I don't know, is this a good time? Like, I really thought I wanted to do private practice. Just to like normalize that, right? That like this could be fear, and it may be fear, but it's also kind of discernment and recognizing like there's a lot of stuff happening, and I want to just make sure that like I'm feeling as confident in my decision when I decide to move forward. So I'm not here to tell you like what you should or shouldn't do. This isn't like about hyping you up, but really helping you to kind of have a clear-eyed kind of strategy and just like your own self-autonomy when you kind of are making this decision. Now, we have to just kind of name the reality that is happening in our field right now is that big tech and venture-backed capital platforms are flooding the therapy market. There are ads everywhere. You can't listen to a big name podcast without hearing an advertisement for BetterHelp, right? They're on, you know, Hulu. When I watch, there's ads for all kinds of different platforms. And so with the flood of that in the market, it can be like almost feels like a dominance of that positioning or of like that platform in like as a referral platform, right? Like they seem to be the ones that might be getting a lot of referrals because it's just like front and center when anybody is kind of Googling therapy, you know, their ads are popping to the top. And I'm not here to like bash these platforms. I'm definitely not here to bash the clinicians who work there. I started out years and years and years ago with BetterHelp, like back in 2014, before it was even telehealth, like, or before it was even just like video, right? But I think it's important to recognize like what these platforms are and how it compares to what you would be doing in building your own private practice. So a lot of these platforms really are there to help recruit providers, right? They are promising incentives. They're using their SEO to help their own reach, right? So like if somebody is Googling therapists near me, like before anybody even gets to the number one spot on Google, there's going to be almost like half a page of ads a lot of times pointing to these platforms. They are even, for some of the companies, offering providers a Psychology Today profile. And so then they're controlling that profile, and it's not really clear on those profiles that they are connected to people on these platforms. So Psychology Today is also flooded with these platforms. It just looks different, right? So again, I think using one of these kind of big box therapy platforms can be a place to start out, right? It can be helpful if you're working a full-time job and you're like, I'm just trying to put some savings away, seeing a couple clients a week to be able to have enough to just leave my job and go full-time into private practice. I also think that it can be a resource to help you kind of gain confidence in your ability to be in private practice. But I think it's important if you're looking and comparing these big box platforms to what it would look like being like individual as a solo provider, there's a big distinction, right? So these companies are optimized for scale and margins. They want to have as many providers on their platform as possible. They want to be everywhere and they want to help everyone. And while their intentions may be good in saying that they are there because they want to help people with their mental health, if it's a venture-backed capital company, we have to be honest, like the profit is probably the most important thing, right? So, what they are looking at is how are they going to make the most money and provide this service. These platforms, though, a lot of times from the clinician side, aren't necessarily looking at the clinician's well-being. Providers are not always being paid like fairly or compensated fairly. And when you are relying on these platforms for your referrals, you don't really have control over who they're sending you, how many of these referrals they're sending you. And so it can feel like you're at the mercy, and really you are, you're at the mercy of this other company. But it's a numbers game, right? They are everywhere. And so they get people constantly coming to them for a therapist. And so if you're going out on your own, you may be like, how can I compete with these platforms when, again, they're ranking like higher up on Google, not necessarily because their SEO is on point, but because they're paying for these ads, right? But I think it's also important to remember that if you are at a place where you're saying, I want to go out on my own, I want to like be in private practice for myself, that you are not actually competing with these companies. They are a very different business model. They operate completely different than who you would be and how your business would be running as an individual practice. So while yes, there is a lot of them, that does not mean that there is not a space for you. If anything, I actually think that having a space for who you want to work with and the types of clients you want to have and how you want to work, that there is absolutely plenty of space, if not like a vast opening for that type of practice, because people are looking for therapy and they are looking for an actual person to connect to. So, yes, while they're the directories feel crowded, right? Like Psychology Today, it can be really, really hit or miss. And there's a lot of these platforms, which again, really do operate as directories. There is still a need. Demand is high, right? Like just look at the news every day and pick an issue, and there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people struggling with that issue, right? So the demand for therapy, just given the state of the world, is really high. We know that there continues to be more and more awareness and acceptance of mental health issues and, utilizing therapy for those things. But it is also still really hard for clients to find somebody, right? It's hard to find somebody that has availability. If they want to use their insurance, it's really hard to find providers that take their insurance or that they have like the ability to pay for their appointments, because again, like with all the things that have happened the last few months, premiums have gone up, so like they may not even have that benefit anymore, right? Like that's a whole thing issue in and of itself. And then there also is burnout happening. So clinicians are leaving our field. They're either going in a different direction or they're leaving the field altogether. So just because there is like this saturation with these big platforms does not mean that there are not people still seeking to find you. They absolutely are. And I think it's important to remember that what is happening with the like advertisement of these platforms, it's a visibility saturation, right? Like they are visible. People say BetterHelp and everybody knows who that is, right? But there's not a relational trust there, right? Like they don't have a relationship with the platform. They may have a relationship with their therapist, but they don't have like a true relationship with what that company is. When somebody goes to say BetterHelp or Rula or Alma, it's not because they're going there because there's a specific therapist there. They are going there because they know that they can easily find a therapist. And they choose that therapist, you know, based on like how their profile is set up, how that resonates with them. They choose that therapist because like they feel like they're the ones that are going to help them. So if they can go there and find somebody there that is somebody that they connect with and that they feel like that's the therapist for them, there's no reason why they would not choose that same therapist if they were somewhere else, if they were on their own or on a different platform. Because again, they're not choosing that therapist because they're on BetterHelp. They're choosing them because that's who they want to work with. So I absolutely believe that now is still a really good time to build a practice, but it has to be built differently. This is not a time to build a copy and paste practice. It's not the time to be a generalist. It's not the time to do what everybody else is doing, but it is time, and it is a really good time if to get really clear on your niche. If you know what population you work with, what you're trying to focus on, and who you serve and how you help, if you know who that is, you are going to attract that person. You're going to attract those clients because when they see you and they see your messaging, they see themselves in that. And it doesn't matter where you are, they're going to want to work with you. It's also a really important thing and a good time, I think, right now to be building a values-driven practice, right? So building a practice that aligns with your personal values, your needs, your schedule, you know, if you need to have a practice that doesn't look traditional in the sense of that you work between these specific hours, people are looking for flexibility, right? So if you are limited with the time that you have, that's okay. If it works for you, there will be people that will see you because they want to see you and because that is the time that works for them. It's also a really important time to be building referrals that are relationship based. So not just depending on a directory, because again, like directories are saturated. But if you are building those relationships with the people who know you for what you do and that they will look to you and refer to you, that is going to be key. Right? Because other providers are looking for who can I recommend my clients to or my friends to or, you know, the students that I work with. So it's not about like mass marketing. It's not about paying for ads, but really, really focusing on building relationships and not just like I'm handing out my business card, I'm dropping off some cookies, here you go, but like a mutual relationship where you understand this referral source, they understand you, and that you guys are supporting each other in that work because there is a benefit to your clients on both sides of that. So being really, really clear about that messaging, who you help, how you work with clients, and then connecting to the people that are in their periphery, you know, that are in their communities, that are seeing them in some other type of, you know, treatment model, whether it is a physician or a physical therapist or a lactation consultant. Those are the places that are going to bring you incredible referrals. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. And so as you're thinking about this, right, if you're thinking about like, okay, I want to do my own thing, it feels really tempting to just, go with one of these companies because they have like their own system set up. That's true. And again, there are pluses and minuses to this. But if you are saying that you want to go out on your own, if you have a system, if you have a strategy, if you know what you're focusing on, you aren't going to be running around like chasing shiny objects, but you're going to be focusing on what you need and what you want to grow your practice. So, having a plan of where are the places I'm going to focus, who are the clients I am trying to attract into my practice is going to help you. Or help hopefully prevent you from kind of spinning your wheels and feeling like, oh, is this actually going to work? I want you to think about like the core differences between working for like one of these big box companies and kind of working for yourself. When you work for a company, they decide the pace, right? So they decide how quickly they're sending you referrals. They're deciding when they send you referrals, what referrals they're getting. A lot of times they may even have like their own policies. So you may be able to still have some of your own, but they may dictate like, yes, you can charge for no-shows or no, you can't. They decide how care is delivered, right? So some platforms may say you can only see clients in this window of time. You can't do like extended sessions. You can't do, intensive, those kinds of things. You can't do this type of treatment. And they also decide what you get paid, right? Like they are going to say this is your base pay. You have to see X amount of number of clients in order to get that. But if you choose to go out on your own and work for yourself, you have so much more autonomy. You decide the session length, you decide your caseload, right? Like, who do you want to work with? Why do you want to work with them? How do you want to work with them? You decide how you show up as a clinician and what kind of work you do, and you decide how you get paid. Do you want to take insurance? And if you do you want to take all insurances? Or do you only want to take ones that are strategic because you can afford to take what they pay? Do you want to just be private pay only? Right. So there is a lot more choice and autonomy that you get to have when you are working completely for yourself. So it's important, I think, to think about this as like from a place of clinical integrity, what feels good for you, and also that autonomy to like really be able to make the decisions that you want because you want to have your practice structured or built or run in a certain way because that's what you need for your life. So if you're sitting here being like, okay, I don't know what I should do, right? Like, I think I want to go out on my own, or I'm still interested in building a practice. Maybe you are with one of these platforms. Maybe you're contemplating going on one of these platforms. Again, I'm not going to tell you to not do that, but I want you to be very strategic in choosing the ones that you decide to sign up with and being very clear on what does that mean to work with them? What does that mean of how you're going to get paid, when you're going to get paid? But I also want you to be keeping in mind, even if you are on one of those platforms, to begin having some focus because I want you eventually to get to a place where you can have a practice that is completely yours. You have autonomy. You own your assets. You get to control how you market, when you market, how you bring in your caseload, and you're not just dependent on this other company sending you these referrals. So in order to do that, I want you to think about choosing a niche, right? And really committing to it, right? It doesn't have to be perfect, but choosing a niche and saying, okay, for the next 6 months, I'm going to focus on this. And I want you to begin building those relationships with referral sources. If you don't already have the comprehensive connecting networking guide, I really encourage you to download that freebie. The link is in the show notes because that's going to help you to really think about who are the people that are going to be really beneficial in referring to you. And then having a clarity on your numbers early. So, meaning like, what do you actually need your take-home pay to be, right? Like not just, well, everybody says that like this is a reasonable fee, or I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get people at this rate, so I'm going to lower my rate to this. If you know what you need to make, then you are going to be able to figure out what you need to charge, and that has to be the number, right? We want to start from a place of designing a practice that fits our life, not having to like rework our life to fit our work. So again, it may feel kind of overwhelming, but I just want to reassure you, like you don't have to do everything and you don't have to do everything right. Like I've made mistakes along the way. Yes, is it work to go back and like have to undo certain things at times? Absolutely. which is why I am a big advocate of having a plan as you start out. But if you do decide to start in one direction and you're like, this is not working for me, I want to change things up, whatever that means, whether that's a niche, whether that's the way you're marketing, whether that's the platform you're on, you can go back and change these things up, right? So you don't have to do everything, but you just need to figure out what are the right things for you, and also keeping in mind what are the right things that will help you to get where you want to be longer term in the future. So I'm not gonna like sugarcoat it. Going out on your own is hard. It is a lot of work. It's not necessarily the easy route, but I believe in the long term, the route of having your own practice is going to give you more agency, more autonomy, way more flexibility, more alignment for you, and a lifestyle that works for you. Things change, right? Like systems change, algorithms change, businesses go out of business, right? But having relationships, having a practice that you get to choose whether you are open or shut down, right? Like that is where there will be consistency. That is where you are able to have control over what happens and how things unfold, not because a company sells themselves or goes out of business. So if you're kind of still on the fence about like, is now a good time to start my own practice? Should I just go with one of these companies? I want you to kind of like pause and ask yourself, what would you choose if fear wasn't running the show, right? So like if fear wasn't the thing driving these decisions, like what would you actually want? And if it is to say, I think I want to go out on my own, I think I want to do my own thing, I want you to head to the show notes and I want you to grab the private practice blueprint. This is going to help you start thinking about how do I structure a practice in a way that is going to allow me, whether it's tomorrow or a year from now, to open my doors in a way that is aligned with me, a way that supports my lifestyle, and a way that is going to help me attract the kind of clients that I want to attract. The link for the private practice blueprint is in the show notes. It is free. I highly encourage you to check that out. And again, give yourself grace that like this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. And if it is that, like, especially as you're raising kids, you don't have a ton of time, like chipping away just piece by piece, little thing by little thing is just going to help get you one step closer each thing that you're doing, each day, each moment closer to where you want to be in the end. I thank you so much for being here today, and I hope you will join me back here next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisetoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.